Agenda item number 8, Peacock Holdings, LLC. Mr. Badger.
Good morning.
Morning, Hank.
Now, a little bit of housekeeping prior to getting into the project itself. We did receive an additional protest letter from Granville Hogg. It's on the top of your packet under 8.
Yep.
Basically, he's objecting to not having enough time to prepare, and he was not able to make the meeting. I emailed him prior to our letters going out 13 days in advance, well beyond what we normally would do. He was aware of that. But he's in Mexico at this time and could not make the hearing. He's basically objecting to not having enough time and VMRC's failure to recognize statutory factors, which are underlined in 28.2.1205, and the public trust doctrine is what he's objecting to. Normally, when someone's asking to postpone the project, a protester is, we would entertain it only if the applicant would agree to it. I've contacted the applicant. The applicant is under some type of time restraint themselves because of the season coming up, and they need some type of closure on this. So they did not go along with the continuance. Therefore, we're recommending to go forward with the project.
Let's proceed.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, in your packet there were two additional drawings, or not drawings, but photos that were not put in there. I apologize for that, but they probably need to be part of the record. That's erosion on his shoreline.
Whose shoreline?
Mr. Hogg's.
Okay.
And he's basically thinking that's coming from erosion from the boat traffic coming in and out of the creek. Peacock Holding requests after-the-fact authorization to retain two unpermitted screened-in cover porches in all restaurant, bar, and preparation equipment on the Oyster Farm Marina Sea Pier situated along Kings Creek in the town of Cape Charles. The project is protested by two nearby property owners. The location of the project is where the arrow is, Lower Northampton County, Bayside, town of Cape Charles. Photo showing the town of Cape Charles proper, the harbor, Kings Creek. The marina itself is here, and Cherry Stone Campground is just north on the north side of Kings Creek. The Oyster Farm Marina offers 124 slips and can handle vessels up to 150 feet. The marina has numerous facilities and amenities, including fueling stations, ship store, showers, restrooms, laundry, and a swimming pool. As you can see, it's got other things in here, too. There's a restaurant over here, swimming pool here, and this is Sea Pier itself. And, again, the marina is part of a 39-acre resort, which is called the Oyster Farms at Kings Creek. I think I need to go back through a little bit of history on this, since this was brought up back in June of last year, and I'm not sure if all the members were here or can remember what we did. Staff was contacted back in May of last year by VMRC Marine Police, who advised that the Oyster Farm Marina had constructed additions to two of their structures at the marina and that the buildings were now being used as a bar/restaurant. A site visit was made on June 7th of 2017 with Mr. Bill Parr, who represents Peacock Holding. Mr. Parr stated that they had health department approval and that the town of Cape Charles had issued a building permit to construct and operate the facility. He also said he believed that the marina manager had contacted VMRC concerning permits. We have no record of any contact from the marina manager of any additional structures or a change to the marina. While responding to the complaint, we noted unpermitted 270 square foot covered screen porch, which is here. It's U-shaped, would come around here, and this is a permitted 20 by 20 shelter here. Again, on the south side, we noticed another 480 square foot covered screen porch on the south side of the permitted structure. A notice to comply was issued to Peacock Holding. The notice stated that in lieu of removal and restoration or restoring the area, the Marine Resources would consider at their June 27, 2017 commission meeting whether to accept an after-the-fact application or proceed to a restoration hearing for the violation. At the June 27, 2017 meeting, after carefully deliberating the project, the commission approved the submittal of an after-the-fact application within 90 days, and the commission also determined that the use of the structures could continue while the public interest review is completed. We did receive a joint permit application on September 25th of 2017 from Peacock Holding, and at that time the application was subject to our standard public interest review. The next couple of pictures will go from A and then over to B. This is just the sea pier itself. This is A. This portion was permitted. The screened-in porch was not. There is a bar inside of the portion that was permitted, so that would require a change of use. Another view, screened porch around it, same A. And you can see all the picnic seating outside there, too. Now we're looking at the B, the southern of the two unpermitted structures. Screened porch, that was unpermitted. This was permitted. And in here, they have restroom facilities, and I believe it's mostly a dockmaster's house and some electronics. Again, one last photo showing that. In response to our public interest review, we received protest letters from Granville Hogg and Mr. John Bridgeforth. Their concerns are related to noise and additional lighting on Sea Pier at night from the restaurant and bar. Mr. Hogg also has questioned the water dependency of an unpermitted restaurant and bar over state-owned submerged lands. And no state agency has expressed opposition to the project. As you can see, Mr. Hogg is approximately 700 to 800 feet away. This is his home. I do not believe he lives there now. Mr. Bridgeforth is approximately 1,200 feet away, and he does live here. Again, I'm going back through a little bit of history. Back in 2002, the commission issued a permit modification to the original Baymark Construction Corporation's permit to realign the piers and boat slips for a more efficient and effective marina layout, and to construct six open-sided and six closed-sided shelters at their pier. The six closed-sided 20-foot by 20-foot structures on Sea Pier were to be used for, one was supposed to be used for harbor master and fuel control, another was for a vessel pump-out system and safety supplies, a third was for restroom facilities, and two were shelters for a proposed cruise boat and sightseeing boats for passengers. And finally, one of the shelters was supposed to be for electronics and communications. The commission believed, this was back in 2002, that the structures were needed to operate the marina and were water related. Only two of the six 20 by 20 foot covered closed sided structures was constructed on Sea Pier. There was no service or food service or covered screen porches were part of the original permit. In our summary and recommendation, I'll start off addressing some of the issues. To address the noise and lighting on Sea Pier, the commission is guided by an attorney general's opinion that states that the commission should only consider the direct physical effects of the proposed project upon adjacent and nearby properties. It is not and is not authorized to consider broad questions of land use policy and planning. Based on this opinion, staff believes the town of Cape Charles is the proper tribune for noise and lighting issues. There was some consideration in Mr. Hogg's last letter whether or not Cape Charles had full jurisdiction of the end of this pier, or if it was the town or the county of Northampton. In any case, we feel like it's either the town or the county's tribune. As far as water dependency, the commission has wrestled with this issue of structures built over the water and the concept of water dependency for years. In fact, our first subaqueous guidelines developed in 1979 states that the commission will consider the water dependency of projects and alternatives for reducing any anticipated adverse impacts. At the July 22, 2003 meeting, the commission considered and adopted the definition of water dependency that has been recognized or that had been recommended by the commission's Water Habitat Management Advisory Committee. That definition included in the subaqueous guidelines adopted by the commission in 2005. The definition states, as defined by the commission, water dependency means those structures and activities that must be located in, on, or over state-owned submerged lands. When applying this definition, both of the following questions must be answered affirmatively. One, is it necessary that the structure be located over water? And two, is it necessary that the activity associated with the structure be over the water? Use of this definition for water dependency does not necessarily preclude issuance of a permit for non-water dependent structures over state-owned submerged lands. At a public hearing, the commission may determine that while a structure is not water dependent, it is a reasonable use of state-owned submerged lands. These types of projects are evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Staff believes the structural additions and changes of use on sea pier would be a more appropriate use on an upland, on the upland, and that the unauthorized additions and associated activities are not water dependent. Accordingly, we're recommending the structures be returned to their original use and the two covered screen porch additions be removed. However, if the commission believes the change of use and structural additions are warranted, staff would recommend a civil charge of $3,000 be assessed for any authorized work. The civil charge is based on a finding of minimum impact and major degree of noncompliance. In addition, the General Assembly in 2004 forgave all the outstanding royalties that were assessed but not collected by the commission between February 12, 1988, and July 1, 2005. The commission resumed its longstanding practice of assessing and collecting either annual or one-time rents and royalties for private use of state-owned submerged lands effective December 1, 2005. A royalty was not collected from the previous marina owner based on the 2004 action of the General Assembly. Since no royalty was collected for the area where the unpermitted cover screen porches now exist, staff believes a royalty is now warranted. Staff therefore recommends that a triple permit fee of $300 and triple royalties in the amount of $3,600 be assessed for the encroachment of the two screen porches over 1,200 square feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom at a rate of $3 per square foot. That's all I have. I know that a protester is here and the applicant is here, and I will answer any questions I may be able to.
Let's start with some questions. I assume there's some questions from the board. Mrs. Everett.
Thank you. Good work. This is a complex situation. I guess the question, so you recommend the structural additions be removed, but if the commission believes they're warranted, there'd be civil charge and royalties. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Mr. Ballard.
Can you educate me on how the royalties are calculated? Is it normally $1 per square foot and we've tripled the rate? Okay.
And that's by code.
Right.
We can do that. Or the fees, too. Mm-hmm. Normally, they've been a $100 fee, $300.
Okay.
And same
this is Everett.
Sorry, additional question. Just in terms of context, how often have these situations come up? I don't think we got into it at the June meeting. And are we seeing more situations like this where there's a request for after-the-fact permit? And I know this has obviously come up in the past, but I guess my question is related more to a precedent-setting nature of considering these authorized and, you know, whether there's a hefty or no civil penalty royalties. Does this create or support a precedent for others to do it thinking there may be a miscommunication?
was getting ready to point this way. He was already getting out of his seat. Mr. Watkinson.
Now, the civil charge issue and the dealing with violations has been a thorn in everyone's side on this commission and at staff level for as long as I've worked here, which has been the last 33 years.
Hmm.
And it's a matter of how you deal with violations. First, we look to restoration and correction of the problem. If that is done, it solves it. If, however, the applicant has a desire to pursue what they've built, and we think it's appropriate to go through the public interest review to see if it's acceptable, we take that course of action, and then it comes to you. As you recall, each month we might have a consent item on your agenda. Those are cases where staff has gone through the violation review, and we've deemed it's acceptable based on the payment of a civil charge, and they've agreed to that, and you're required to endorse those each month. Where we have situations that staff does not think it should stay, but the commission wants to pursue it, it comes to you as what we call a page one item, a hearing item, just like you have here today for this particular project. To the extent it sets a precedent, I think it's just a way we have to deal with violations. Whether or not you accept it or not, whether or not you approve a typical type of a project, has some influence on what might be deemed as acceptable down the road. But each case has its own specific circumstances and merits. And as we've articulated in the subaqueous guidelines for what is water dependent, we at the staff level don't recommend structures that aren't water dependent, but there are cases where the use of the state submerged lands and whether or not it provides a legitimate use of the public resource can be weighed by the commission on a case-by-case basis. And that's where we are here today.
Mr. Ballard.
So to clarify, can you kind of spell out what decision we made last June, I think the meeting was, deciding today?
We thought this was a significant enough case that I, as the chief of the Habitat Management Division, with certain delegated authority from the commissioner to deal with permits and approve permits and decide how we'll deal with violations, felt that we wanted the commission to decide whether or not last June we would even accept an after-the-fact application. And we had that hearing. You heard the testimony, and the decision was we'll go through the public interest review to see what we hear and decide whether or not it's a justified use or an appropriate use of state submerged lands to allow this facility. And so that was the reason for bringing it to you. To be honest with you, I'll often make that call on a given project, whether it's something we would typically permit or not, and we'll go through the public interest review without coming to you to ask whether or not we'll accept an application. But because of the scale and scope of this project and the non-water dependent nature and the history of the past permits, we thought we would put that decision before the commission, and you voted to allow them to submit the application and keep the facility operated until a decision was made, which is what we're here for today.
Mr. Ballard.
And as I further try to simplify this in my mind, essentially what we're talking about is screened porches on those two facilities. Is that right?
Those are the additions. But keep in mind, those additions are in conjunction with an expanded use of those existing buildings. The existing buildings were approved by the commission. They weren't really water dependent at the time, but the commission, at the time they were permitted, felt like they were appropriate structures on the piers for the services and uses that the marina owner wanted. They did not include a restaurant, and we felt that adding a restaurant to and bar to those buildings was not consistent with what the original permit added. So you've got two things going on here. One, you've got the additional encroachment of the porches, but you've also got a change in use of the existing buildings from marina maintenance, electrical, bathroom facilities for boat owners to a restaurant facility that we need to authorize as well if that's the will of the commission.
Mr. Everett.
Sorry, one more. How many restaurants are there on docks in Virginia?
There are a few.
And this commission has dealt with Sherwood.
Were there permits granted in advance or all after the fact?
Combination.
Okay.
Probably one of the most significant, and I'll just, as a, the commission may not remember this, at the Harrison's Fishing Pier over at Grandview, that pier was destroyed in the storm back by Isabel. They rebuilt it, and when they built it consistent with permits issued by this commission, but they added a bar area up on top of the restaurant area after it was built. And so that came to the commission as an after-the-fact situation, much like this today. And the commission actually approved that particular project at that fishing pier at the time. So that's just an example of a case we have heard and gone through, the same type of water-dependent need and how it's going to be used, whether or not it justifies that encroachment over state's submerged lands. And the commission had felt in that case that it provided the public an opportunity to use the area, take advantage of being near the water, and so the commission thought it was appropriate. And there's been a few others. I can't remember all of them, but it's not the norm, but there are a few cases where you have public use facilities or private businesses, but they cater to the public, where the commission has allowed those types of uses.
Let's close the loop on that thought. There are cases that have come before the commission under similar circumstances that were denied and the additions unpermitted were removed.
We've had those cases too. I can't remember a restaurant that was denied, but I remember structures on piers that weren't necessary, like a storage building, and the commission denied it. It's called the Palmer case. It actually went way up through the Court of Appeals, and the commission was upheld in denying that structure on the pier because it wasn't necessary for what the owner needed. And in that case, it was strictly a private use. There was no public enjoyment of the facility as a result.
Other questions? Mr. Zeter.
We've got about five or six issues here. One, as I understand it, the commission approved six 20-foot structures on that pier. Is that right?
That's correct.
And it had enumerated what they were used for. Some was for a bathroom. Some was for storage of this, that, and the other. Now, was there any consideration given to the fact that they decreased the footage by four of those buildings when they only increased the screened-in portions a minimal amount? Was any consideration given for that?
Well, we didn't in terms of the royalty because we felt like that permit authorized a certain structure and these were different. So what we've said in terms of what we think the royalty should be for this, it's that new porch addition. Okay?
But that's only if you approve it.
Right, exactly.
You recommended that they take it down. Right?
That's the porches. That's correct. And right. They not use it as a restaurant.
Right. All right. Second issue. Suppose instead of using it as a restaurant, one of the other purposes there, I think you had storage of some kind of boating material or whatever.
Evaluation.
They put that screened-in porch to protect that approved use. Would that be okay?
It's still out of compliance.
Yeah.
They weren't 20 by 20s.
Okay, well here I'm trying to paint this picture. You got six 20-foot structures approved. Well, instead of doing six, so they're going to do four, but they say, well, you know, we can take, instead of putting these other four, we'll put a little bit of a screen-in porch and protect that property, which the approved use.
I would say that we would have needed to amend our permit to reflect the design or the shape of the structure that's going out there. But if they had wanted to just use it for the same authorized use that occurred in the original permit, I don't think that would have been a major factor.
And you would probably recommend that, right?
That's correct.
Tell me, you know, you're talking about this is a deviation in the original concept. Where in your definition do you see a minimal deviation versus that strict construction that you read about, you know, what the board approved as to whether it meets the criteria for use over the water? Is there a minimal deviation allowance?
In terms of the guidance for what's water dependent?
Yes.
We lay out in our water-dependent guidance that sort of have to answer two questions. Is it necessary to be over the water, and can the use be accommodated somewhere else other than over the water? I think those are the questions. And in this case, a restaurant itself doesn't have to be over the water, and that use could be accommodated elsewhere. It doesn't have to be over the water for you to have a restaurant. It's not like a boat slip or a boat ramp or even a boat house, for that matter. If your boat's going to be in the water, you got to be over the water to build it. So in this case, they didn't meet those questions of whether or not it was water dependent. But as the guidance suggests, it's a case-specific determination of whether or not it's acceptable to allow those non-water dependent activities to occur.
Okay. I'm looking at your picture. You got a lot of slips. You got one boat in there. Who makes the call of whether it's water dependent? Is that some type of objective standard, or is that some type of personal standard?
We do based on that guidance. And we, for years, had the term water dependent in our subaqueous guidelines, but we had no sort of definition or parameters on how it would be applied. And this commission asked us at the staff level and through our Habitat Management Advisory Committee to see if we could come up with some criteria that we could look at to define water dependency. Because it kind of was, we thought it was self-explanatory. It's got to be over the water. But we did go through and came up with the guidance that suggests what is water dependent. And the words are in the staff evaluation, and then I'm probably not repeating them word for word, but we did go through, and that is our test for deciding whether or not something is water dependent.
Well, in looking at this scenario, you got slips there, you got to have boats
right.
to make the marina work, and was it in consideration given the fact that maybe a restaurant or a bar or whatever they put up there is water dependent to bring in the business there so they could in fact use the marina for what its purpose?
I think it factors into sort of the evaluation, but we would still say that doesn't rise to the level of water dependent. It might be acceptable for those reasons and justifiable, but it's not water dependent.
And this is a commercial environment here. This is commercial use,
that's
is that right?
Correct, yes.
And based on what we hear from you, is this a reasonable use or an appropriate use for commercial purposes for running a marina?
We have
and
said
I'm talking about the restaurant and the bar and stuff
like
that.
At the staff level, we've said no. Okay. We think that becomes a very case-specific policy-level decision that we would say the commission needs to decide based on the evidence at hand.
And I believe last year, we not approve a restaurant in Norfolk on Collie Avenue that burned down or had suffered fire damage, and we allowed the pier to go out over the water?
Yeah, it's a restaurant facility that straddled the shoreline and went out over the water, and I think our recommendation at the staff level is probably the same then as it is here today.
Okay, thank you.
One other thing. If this wasn't after the fact, it would still be in front of you today. The staff would not approve this administratively. Not the request.
You mean from back in 2002 when the original permit came in?
Well, no. If this wasn't after the fact, and they were requesting today to put a bar out there and put a screened in porch, it would still be in front of you today.
Yep. Mr. Ballard?
Along similar kind of logic lines, if there hadn't been the structural additions, but you'd received complaints about noise, and they hadn't made any structural changes, would we have deemed that a violation if you saw picnic tables out there and a change of use kind of?
Well, it's kind of at what point does they get to a use that results in an encroachment and an activity that's not part of the original permit? If it were just a lot of people out on the pier and there's a lot of commotion as a result of people getting on and off boats, no, we wouldn't have dealt with it. But if they start running an activity out there that results in additional structures out on the pier, then I think that's when we have to step in and say, wait a minute, that's not what the pier was authorized for, and you've got structures out there that are facilitating that use, and it's a violation.
If it was simple, you all wouldn't get paid the big bucks you are for being here. This is Terry. Mrs. Lusk.
Along the same lines, if the noise or the commotion was coming from people
I mean, let's say there were boats in those slips. If the noise was coming from people gathered on their boats on the pier, we wouldn't be involved.
In reality, the noise and as in terms of how that's controlled and what is allowed, we view that as a local zoning type issue. And based on that Attorney General opinion that was part of your evaluation, the Attorney General at the time suggested that that's best left to the local government to administer through those typical zoning decision procedures.
For the crowd, that was a joke on my part. Nobody up here is getting paid to be here except me. Mrs. Eppert.
Just going back to kind of whether it's warranted or not, that you mentioned there was a proposal for storage, which was denied on a pier at one point, obviously. I guess that, to me, this might be commission discussion, but I'd love your professional opinion of the fairness issue. Like, I might not be able to have storage for particular items on a vessel if I were an applicant, yet there could be somebody, in this case a potential applicant, who would have a restaurant, et cetera. And so, to me, I just want to dig a little bit further about how that speaks to other potential applicants and what they might do after the fact. Again, not to get
I think my advice here is to consider how the public trust resource is being used. That's the state's emergency. That's the public trust resource. And is it being used in a manner that totally facilitates one private use and therefore limits other public enjoyment of that area? Or while there might be non-water dependent features associated with that structure, does it facilitate some broader use by the public to enjoy the public trust resource? And that's a continuum of a grayscale from one extreme to the other. And where you see the breakpoint for approval or denial would be based on, I think, the factors that you would hear or consider at a public hearing.
I think the interpretation of that is up to you. Mr. Zeter.
Are these facilities licensed by the city or county or whoever that they happen to be within the jurisdiction of?
County of Cape Charles license.
County of Cape Charles gave them a building permit. Health Department has approved the facility, and they do have an ABC license.
And that's a state license, is that right?
ABC, I assume it is. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good. Other questions? Thank you. This has been very helpful.
Fun.
Yeah, thrills. Thrills a minute. Is the applicant present? Please come forward. I need to swear in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Bill Park, Cape Charles, Virginia.
Welcome back, Mr. Park.
My name is Commissioner. Copy that, please.
Sure.
I want to thank you for the great debate and inquiry that you're making here this morning. We've had a really great experience with the professionalism of all of the MRC staff in the course of this effort, and we're all learning as we go through it. Once again, my name is Bill Parr. I'm here on behalf of Peacock Holdings, which is the owner of the real estate that is the Oyster Farm Marina. Hank, could you put that picture that shows the whole marina? Thank you. We really appreciate the consideration that you extended us last June. We did then, and we're here again today to apologize for our mistaken use.
That one.
Yes, sir. Thank you. For our mistaken use of the sea pier, and today we hope to get to correct that and get the permit. Peacock Holdings owner Bob Acofinto is here with me today, as is the marina manager, Smitty Dyes, to respectfully address any concerns that you might have. To recap briefly what we talked about on June 27th, since acquisition in 2013, we've struggled with low marina occupancy and competition from the publicly owned Town Harbor. That Town Harbor did not exist back when the Bay Creek Kings Creek Marina was redeveloped in its current modern form. It's been expanded quite a bit. You have a booklet of photos that I've just given you of the original Kings Creek Marina, which dates back, we think, to 1930, 1940. It included a restaurant on a pier over the water, along with several other buildings that were used for a residence, a store, and other uses. It was last known as Stiles Marina when Bay Creek took it over and tore it down to rebuild it with what is there today. The old marina established a history and a tradition of this type of activity on Kings Creek as far back as 1950 that we've been able to confirm. We employ about 150 people at the oyster farm in peak season, which represents a very substantial economic engine for the town of Cape Charles, which recently lost around 300 jobs due to the closure of Bayshore Concrete Plant over on Cape Charles Harbor. Since our acquisition in 2013, Peacock Holdings has invested millions of dollars in repairs and improvements to their property there, including installation of breakwaters along the bayfront to stabilize and preserve the shoreline and ensure a positive impact on the town, which relies heavily on tourism and seafood and other marine commerce. Mr. Aquafinto researched numerous alternatives to revitalize the marina, recognizing that it was somewhat empty, as you see in the image there, converting it to high-density oyster aquaculture, but we couldn't get the scale of it large enough to be economically sustainable. The sea pier had two buildings on it when it was built. There was, as you discussed earlier, it was originally permitted for six. One was a fuel dock, the restrooms were already in it, and there was another unused buildings that had been sitting there vacant basically for 10 years. Our staff made a serious error in mistakenly thinking that the proposed use of the vacant building was allowable. We're here to correct that mistake and apologize for it. The sea pier facilities are otherwise fully approved by the town of Cape Charles, the building official, the zoning official, the health department, and the ABC regulations. We're in compliance with every code other than the VMRC that we're aware of. The town of Cape Charles fully supports our request. You have a letter from the mayor which signifies that. We believe and we're convinced by the facts of the business there that the economic viability of our marina as a boating destination for tourists and visitors is what's at stake for us here today. We desperately need the added advantage of this type of at-the-boats located facility to compete with the taxpayer-funded town harbor as well as the big city marinas across the bay. It's not just important to our operation, but to the town's tourist-based economy as a whole. Tourism is not just the lifeblood of the town's budget, but the primary focus of economic development of Northampton County. We see our privately held marina as an important private investment in the overall tourist infrastructure of Northampton County. Kings Creek's been a boating destination for watermen and fishermen for over 75 years with a long-standing history of serving food and drinks out on the docks. It helped bring the visitors to the old docks for generations. We need those visitors more than ever now, right now, to remain economically viable. It's our understanding, and we believe it to be correct, that there is ample precedent to approve our request, including similar uses on the oceanfront pier in Virginia Beach, which has an entire restaurant and bar complex called Ocean Eddies on it, the Lynn Haven Fishing Pier, which also has a restaurant and bar, the Ocean View Fishing Pier, which also has a restaurant and bar, the Smithfield Station, and Bubba's Restaurant at Lynn Haven, both of which use some of the state's bottom for their facilities. There are probably many others we don't know about, but those are the ones that are in our region, our neighborhood. These examples appear to establish a clear precedent for justification of an approval of our request if you choose to do so. An answer about concerns about noise, and we respect our neighbors and we want to be good corporate citizens there. We've agreed to stop playing amplified live music or DJs at 10 p.m., and our quiet hour for the marina is already set from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. because we have paying guests sleeping on boats, and we also have paying guests sleeping in our villa rentals, which are right there facing the docks on the marina. As many of you know, our next-door neighbor is Cherrystone Campground. They've got several hundred sites, and they also have live music. And occasionally, depending on the direction of the wind and various factors, you can hear that music out on Kings Creek, too. We have 39 acres that are zoned commercial that you see the land area there, and Cherrystone's got I don't know, a couple hundred acres right next door to us. So we feel like that the making consideration of cutting off at 10 o'clock is a reasonable accommodation to answer the concerns about noise. We might ask the neighbors to work with us on summer holidays like the 4th of July, Memorial Day, and our annual Oyster Festival, which we call the Shuck and Suck, because those are times when there are other things in play. I mean, Cherrystone Campground and the town of Cape Charles have extended fireworks shows 4th of July, and so we'll probably be doing things maybe a little bit later on those nights. But regularly we'll be stopping at 10 o'clock on the weekends. We've also, as far as the lighting, we've already changed the lighting on the pier. We had three tall, two-fixtured light masts that we moved away from the end of the pier down closer to landward to soften the illumination at the end of Sea Pier, and we think we've done a pretty good job with softening the lighting. So in summary, we've established a history and tradition at we have an established history and tradition at this site for the type of use we proposed. We have addressed all reasonable objections. We have the full support of the town of Cape Charles. We are otherwise fully permitted to conduct this use, and no new disturbance of state-owned bottom will result from your approval, and that there are ample precedents established with similar uses in other communities in our region. Based on these factors, and you know, to your very good questions earlier, we believe that our request is a reasonable use of state-owned submerged lands that you could approve today. The specifics in the staff report, briefly, this idea of water dependency, it states in the statute, does not necessarily preclude issuance of a permit for non-water dependent structures. And then it's about what is a reasonable use, which is a great conversation that you've been having today. We think that these other uses, these other precedents that have been established and the history of uses on our creek give you that. Once again, we apologize for what we've come to understand is a big mistake in using the old buildings and expanding them without your permission. And we would respectfully ask your favorable consideration of this request. We're here to answer your questions.
I think there's some. Questions?
I have.
Mr. Neal.
All right. You've heard the staff recommendation is to take down the additions and stop use of the restaurant. Their secondary thing, if we choose to approve your permit, is a $3,000 civil charge for the after-the-fact type of thing and triple permit fees and the royalty fees. Is that fair to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's my question. Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. Cedron.
Those piers, especially during the fall when you have the oyster issues, is it fair to say that several boats come and moor up there at those piers, like in teams, to have oyster roasts on the deck and things like that?
Yes, sir.
And how far is it, once you come off of those piers, how far would a boat owner have to go to get ice, to get any kind of food or anything that you're supplying on those restaurants?
It's a pretty long hike from the location of our facilities that we're discussing today up to the store or over to the restaurant. People frequently will, we have a courtesy golf cart that will take people the distance. Of course, we can't always do that. Some people ride bicycles, but that's not always convenient. But it's a pretty long hike.
Wait a minute, Mr. Park. I've been over there. The Oyster Farm Seafood Eatery here is at the end of the dock. There's food served there, and as I recall, there's a bait and tackle shop there, too.
Yes, sir.
So there's
quite a distance from the end of the sea pier, though.
How far away from the end of the sea pier to the Oyster Farm Eatery, Seafood Eatery?
How far would you say 400 yards?
300-400 yards.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that far. All right. Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Park. Mr. Tacker.
Your 10 o'clock closing time. Now, how are you going to regulate that, and what do you see as will that be something you sort of agree to on a long-term basis, short-term basis, and how?
We have agreed, in reading the regulations that were sent to us in the staff report, we understood that it wasn't something that wasn't an agreement we could make with the MRC. It would have to be with the town of Cape Charles. We believe we are in the town of Cape Charles, and we're in discussions with them. But what we have said is that we would stop amplified live music and DJs at 10 o'clock, which we would still be open at that point. We would stop that music. Now, in talking with Smitty Dyes, who is a marina manager, what we find is that there are people on boats that have pretty loud sound systems that we'll have to go out and quiet them down well after we've shut down. And we do have a quiet hour that we enforce, you know, with a firm hand at 11 o'clock on all the boaters. But what we would be doing is stopping amplified live music and DJs at 10 o'clock.
I guess my follow-up question is, so is there some memorialization of that sort of agreement or that, proffer, for lack of a better word?
We would be glad to do that with the VMRC. We felt like that it was a conversation based on what the correspondence we got that we would need to have with the town.
Agreed.
Which we're willing to do.
I would argue that's outside of jurisdiction.
I agree with that. No, I just wanted to understand if there was any agreement between Cape Charles and the marina.
It's between them, I think.
Yes, I know.
And that's why we didn't bring in anything to offer you, because it appeared that it was something we couldn't do.
Okay. Other questions from the board? Thank you, Mr. Parr. Very effective. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this after-the-fact application? Please come forward, sir. You look vaguely familiar. This is former Marine Police Captain Bruce Ballard. Mr. Ballard, I need to swear you in.
Yes, sir.
Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Please state your name for the record. Which
I'm Bruce Ballard. Live in Willis Wharf, Virginia. However, I do have a boat that I keep at the marine in question. I've kept it there for several years. What Mr. Parr has told you is what goes on there. Mr. Dyes runs a tight ship. As far as the noise, we were told last summer, it's got to stop after 10 o'clock. You know, we abide by that. We do have, some of the guys have boats that have speakers that'll blow the windows out of this building. And happy hour, and anyway, but yeah, he does, and we do take care of it down there. I was born and raised in Cape Charles, been around that creek my entire life, and the changes have just, they're amazing. I mean, what it does for the town and for the county and for the state itself. I mean, on weekends, we'll leave there to come to a marina over here on the western shore, and the people that we've met that come from the western shore to our marina look at us and go, why are y'all leaving here? He said, y'all got the best marina in the bay. And we kind of look at it like that, too. And as far as it being a water use or non-water use, you've been down on that boat all day long playing or working or whatnot. Believe me, it's a use. We certainly enjoy it. Families come out there. They promote our seafood industry as best they can. And I just hate to see something happen to it, but... Anyway, I appreciate your time, and good luck to you, Mr. Commissioner.
Oh, thank you, sir. Any questions from the board? Thank you, Bruce, and thanks for your service to the Marine Police for all those years.
Thank you, sir.
We miss you. Anybody else wish to testify in favor of this proposal?
Yes, sir.
In favor? Let's see, Mr. Heath, please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Kenneth Heath. I'm a lifelong resident of the East Shore, Cape Charles. I'm a commercial fisherman, and I also have a slip at Kings Creek Marina. And they serve a lot of seafood that's caught here on the shore locally. I don't know if any of y'all do know, but this marina was auctioned off because it was not making any money prior to Bob purchasing it. And since they've there, since they've came, it's certainly full slips, a lot of activity, a lot of good support for the community. And I mean, I hope to be able to continue going down there and enjoying it with my family. So I hope you all will approve the after fact permit and keep the porches in place. Thanks.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Heath. Next? Okay. Come forward, please. You're in the on-deck circle. You're in the on-deck circle, sir. You hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, stuff you got.
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Major Jones. I'm here in favor of it. I think pretty much the previous speakers have wrapped up most of what I'd like to say, but I would like to add to it that I worked with Smitty Dyes for a long time with the Northampton County Chamber of Commerce, and he's an absolute professional. Anything that he may have missed was absolutely a mistake and not intentional. Otherwise, I think CPR is a great thing. So, thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
John Bridgeforth.
Welcome.
Neighboring. One of the, if you've got it listed as a protester, I'm standing up now to say I'm in favor of the project. It's the 10 o'clock shutting down the DJ, the amplified music and things like that, which you've addressed to say not my job. And that's fine. I had sent yesterday to the applicant a statement that might appear, and it would, I would prefer, a statement to his effect that he would shut down at 10 o'clock in Section 10 of Part 1 in the application, I think under a general description on what operation was going to take place and whether it applied to what you guys have covenants over, whether it was there or not. I'd like to see it written and memorialized, I think was the word used. And then I would have full support for the superior. I think it is water dependent because I don't think the vibe would be there, and it would be only half successful if it weren't over the water. It's a no brainer as far as business, food and beverage opportunities go. So,
thank you, sir. Anybody else in favor of the project? Please come in favor. Sure. Let me swear you in as well. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name.
Elizabeth Davis.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I am a Cape Charles resident and boat owner who docks my boat at the Oyster Farm at Kings Creek. What is unique about my situation is I dock my boat in the slip closest to Sea Pier, the first one. And hence, there's probably no one outside of the Oyster Farm ownership and staff who has the ability to observe this location on a more regular basis than I. First and foremost, I see the additional staff Sea Pier employees. From college students and locals, these employees augment their income. Without this location, these folks would not have this seasonal pay. Additionally, and again, because I'm there almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I work from home. And in the summer, my home is my boat, so I'm there. I see the number of people who come to enjoy Sea Pier, from families to middle-aged couples to singles of all ages, from locals, from all over the shore, to visitors. Sea Pier provides a venue for all to enjoy the beauty of Kings Creek and the good, clean fun this venue provides. The mix of young and older, local and tourists, is unusual and very welcome. But what this also provides is a much-needed tax base for both our town and county. Mr. Parr has already spoken to that fact. Also, I've had the ability and been lucky enough to experience some of the other venues in Virginia, from Smith Mountain Lake to other venues on Shore Drive throughout the Commonwealth that are located over water. So I don't think there's any need to continue kind of visiting and revisiting. I know you have ultimate authority to make a decision today as it relates to this discussion. I'm hopeful reason will prevail and you'll find in Sea Pier's favor. Thank you for your time and thoughtful consideration.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify in favor of the project? Please come forward. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Smitty Dyes. I'm the manager for the Oyster Farm Marina Vacation Rentals. Well, as you all know, I support the project, but I just wanted to get up here and say I'm truly sorry. I missed a step, and it was my fault. And I wanted you all to put a face with the thing, and it was me. And to answer Mr. Zidron's question earlier about the impact it's had, when I first started, August 2015, we had 35 annual and semi-annual boats. Last year, we had 106. So it's all been because of Seafair. So anybody have any?
Any questions from the board? Thank you, Mr. Dyes. Mr. Ballard.
Are the screened porches gutted, or is there, what kind of impact do you estimate them having environmentally?
I really don't estimate any impact. I mean, the roofs that was there was not gutted, and it was all just rained off. And so all the rainwater just going through the dock is right. Typically anyway. So,
any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else in favor? Anybody else wish to speak in favor of this application? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? How about I ask a generic question here? Anybody else have anything to say about this? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Let's start with some discussion. Mr. Zedrin.
You know, I'm a little older than some of the people around here, and you know, I look around and look at the Olympics and I look at everything, and it's about change. And, you know, sometimes we, the older people, have an idea about their definition of things, and we see that, you know, that definition needs to change to accommodate what's happening here. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to know and see Cape Charles when it looked like this, these pictures that were handed to the commission. And I believe Mr. Ballard had the right comment a minute ago about that shoreline. It's an improvement. And I would let you know, I have nothing to do with this marina, never been there except for walking there, no financial interest. I don't even know any of the people involved in it. But when you look at these pictures, this is not a new use, okay? This is an improvement of the use. And they have done a fantastic job. They've taken a lot of risk on, and I would commend them, the contractors, the developers, Cape Charles. That city marina is fantastic. I mean, it used to be terrible. And, I mean, you can't even get a boat in there these days. Everybody's trying to get in there. And same thing here with the shoreline and things. I can't say enough, and I don't own any property in Cape Charles, but I do ride through there, and I'm amazed at what everybody's done with the property. And I think that, you know, reasonable use of water. I know I keep my boat over at the Naval Base, and there's a whole section of piers that rent the whole pier down there at this facility in oyster season, and they have oysters up and down the pier and those type of thing, and when you get there with a boat, you don't have any way to get anywhere. You got 2 feet, and the 2 feet can only carry so much if you are able to get somewhere. So a facility like that, that has ice, that has water, that has entertainment, you can get off your boat, is a real thing. And I think what we're seeing here is that this is a reasonable use. It's a reasonable use to make the waterway that made that marina that we approved functional. I mean, we approved that marina. So imagine that marina with no boats. I mean, what kind of reasonable use is that? We need to look at the reasonable use of the marina, We have the applicant, the protester here, now withdrawing his protest based on, you know, noise. It looks like the owner's in compliance with light standards. We didn't even hear an objection to that, but he said, look, man, maybe the lights are too bright out there and moved them back. So I think we're learning to live together and compromise, and I think that's part of what we're doing here. And so I think that, you know, when we look at these pictures here, it's not a new use, and maybe that's something that the original person, and I know it went through foreclosure and things like that, maybe in the plan should say we want to improve the seafood restaurant on the outside. And look at this fuel tank out here. I mean, you know, that's to me, that's an environmental hazard right there. And so you'll not see that kind of thing over in this environment. So they've improved the environment. They've improved the land use underneath the pier. They've improved. I mean, we go place to place and see sunken boats and you know, the fuel's still in the boats and all these kind of things. And so I think everybody has done what they can to do a great job here. And I think this is a reasonable use. I don't think you have, you know, 50 buildings on there so that you can't even walk. I mean, they limited it to two. It's a good use of space. It's a reasonable use of space. It's a commercial use of space. And it's an appropriate use. So I think that they have done what they can. And we got to look at the locality. I mean, Cape Charles here is issued them permits. The Virginia ABC Board, which is very, very scrutinizing on alcoholic beverages, has given them a license. And so it would be my position that they have done all they can do, and they're willing to pay the after-the-fact fees and give them a chance to survive. That would be my position.
Thank you, Mr. Seedrin. Here, hold on one second, Mr. Tankard. I'm going to say a couple things here. First off, we're missing one of the board members here, so there's eight of us. I'm announcing here that I will be abstaining from this vote because I suspect this might be close, and in fairness to everybody here, you need a decision on this one way or another, and a 4-4 split is not beneficial, number one. Number two, I ask you all to be very careful about precedents. We've had discussions that this has happened in other places, but I'm just going to ask you all to be very careful about the concept of, without pause, approving restaurant and bar facilities on piers, on state-owned water bottoms. It may be perfectly fine here, but it may not be fine in other places. I'm just going to ask you to take careful consideration of that. Mr. Tankard, the floor is yours.
Yeah. With regard to precedent, I think you make a good point. You know, however, I would say that I do remember my grandfather used to have his boat pulled out here every once in a while. He was never very happy about it when he couldn't have his boat pulled at the salt works on Nassauwetish Creek. It was pretty dumpy way back in the 70s and pretty rough. So I would say that this has now become a real asset to Cape Charles. And not only is it an asset to Cape Charles, but it's an asset to – I keep my boat here, so I see people going back and forth to a lot of people on the Eastern Shore. So they get a chance to be on the water when they otherwise wouldn't. So I think in some regard it has a use that's public, and that the sea pier gives a chance for the people to use the creek – in a fashion that they wouldn't otherwise. And so in some regard, there is a sort of, I would say there is a water-dependent use. People get a chance to be and visit on the water of Kings Creek via sea pier. So I think in some regard, this is a chance for an exception that the precedent wouldn't be tragic if we approved this. So I kind of make a motion, but I would be in favor of a motion at this time to do it. Again, I think it's a valuable asset to Cape Charles, and that's my piece.
Mrs. Lusk.
I would agree with Mr. Tankard and Mr. Zedrin. I think it is important to consider precedent, but in this particular case, the pier was already there, or the marina was already there and approved, and the applicants sort of inherited that layout. And so if this were a situation where they were applying for a permit for the entire thing, then perhaps we would be able to have some discussion about where different services would be located. In this situation, they sort of inherited that plan. They need to fill the spaces in order to keep the marina viable. And so, in my opinion, in this particular circumstance, the pier is a reasonable and a water-dependent use. So I would support the project as well.
Anyone else want to jump in? Mr. Neal?
Basically, my suspect is that if this had come before us through the proper channels correctly, we would have denied this permit. I suspect we would have denied allowing the restaurant to be placed here. But on the other hand, I don't see any environmental good we are doing by requiring the screen porches to be taken down, and what extra harm serving beer out of this shed is doing to the environment. So I'm not sure what we'd be gaining by having it ripped down. That's kind of my guess is that we would not have approved it. So that's kind of the one factor. But on the other hand, maybe I'm not sure what we would be gaining by having it taken down.
Mr. Ballard.
A couple comments. One, I disagree a little bit with Commissioner Neal. I at least probably would have voted to approve it if it had come before us. So I feel like we would have had a similar discussion as we're having now and identified all the issues. In terms of environmental impact, and to be candid, I own Cherrystone Campground, Cherrystone Aqua Farms, which is right to the north of the creek. But we have probably the largest oyster hatchery in the state there and are absolutely the closest monitors of water quality in the area. Usually, Mr. Dyes or Mr. Ochofinto can't sneeze without us complaining about some impact to the water. And we're pleased with what they've been doing here. We see very little debris, very little impact from the increased traffic in the creek, and have zero complaints about environmental impact. I think this would have come before us, and we would have weighed the public use of the state-owned bottom and what's the benefit. And I agree with Mr. Tankard's comments that particularly on this area, the Eastern Shore, a lot of the waterfront land is large estates that have been in families for generations, and this is one of the few places that anyone can come and enjoy the water. And we have very few places like that along the Eastern Shore. When comes time, I'm in favor of this project and think it's a great thing for the county. And while there are some reservations, I think we have to look at all these on a case-by-case basis and weigh the benefit to the public of this use of the state-owned lands. And I think it's more beneficial for the public to have this as a use than it is to not have it.
Mrs. Everett.
Yes, so I agree that that there is public use inherent in this proposed use of a restaurant, and I could see myself visiting, enjoying it. More people will have access to the water, economic development benefits, jobs. So there are definitely some benefits to this project. I guess with me, though, the challenge is who's to say how it would be considered if it were an original permit application as such, but if we wanted and supported restaurants as a general rule, obviously everything's case by case, particularly if it's after the fact, then yes, maybe we would be likely to approve it as an original proposal, but it doesn't seem like that is consistent necessarily, particularly with the MRC staff position. And I still battle with, while a proposed, for example, storage structure is more private benefit for public use, to me it doesn't seem, it seems as a fairness issue. And so I almost feel like there is, while it might have not been intentional, they're being rewarded because they went after the fact. And not that in this case, again, it was more been a miscommunication, but for other potential, I can see if the precedent setting risk being other owners might say, let's just go for it. We could probably get an after the fact permit. it might even be more likely that we would get it versus an original proposed application for such a use, and only have to pay $3,000 or a few thousand dollars. It's a minor price to pay for a larger revenue stream by again doing something after the fact. So I think it's really risky, particularly because it is an after the fact permit situation.
Any other discussion? Mr. Ballard.
The after the fact is interesting, and in my mind the way I'm kind of thinking about this is twofold. Is let's forget it's after the fact, and if it was come before us today, how would I view this? And I would be in favor of it. The fact that then you go into the after the fact, and that makes it a little more difficult, but that is something that is battled widely throughout multiple industries, whether marine construction or upland construction. And it's a constant debate of, do you take the slap on the wrist or do it now, ask for forgiveness later? I'm not sure that's something we can solve as a commission. And in this case, I feel like the benefits outweigh the drawback of approving an after-the-fact permit. So that's sort of my thought process on it.
Mr. Zeter.
You know, I agree with part of your comments there, but, you know, I think we can see a fraud. You know, there are a lot of after-fact issues that come before us, even state agencies that make a boo-boo about, well, you know, we're right into this project, and, you know, we were supposed to take a right, but there's a rock here, or there's a this here, or that here. And we got to do this, we got to do that, and we're here after the fact. And so I think we can smell out a rat. You know, I think, and this goes to what Commissioner is saying there, it is that, you know, rather than ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. But I think we can figure that one out and say, look, you know, you fully intended not to comply. You did this and you did that and so forth and so on. And I would feel justified in denying that kind of permit. But I don't think that this is that situation here. I think, you know, they've done the best they can. They kind of evolved into that. And you know, what tells me that is, you know, if they're trying to sneak by, why did they go get the city permit? Why did they get the whatever other permits? I think it was two or three permits they had to get. And the ABC board is no joke. I mean, you don't walk in the ABC board and say, look, I'm going to start selling liquor on in a pier over here. They go through a big scrutiny on that type of thing. So they weren't trying to hide anything. They were trying to comply. And you know, but for maybe some noise issues that came up or something like that, probably wouldn't have had any protesters at all here. And so, and actually, we only have one that withdrew that. So I think we can address that issue after the fact, and I don't think that's the situation here.
Anyone else? Mr. Minor.
I'd just like to say that you know, thank you for coming and showing up. I think that this, I'm in favor of this project, and I love the improvements. And also it says a lot when the mayor sends a letter from Cape Charles. So I just want to say thank you.
Any other discussion? This is Everett.
Yeah, and I think, to me, again, I don't have a problem with this proposed use given the situation in the case, and I don't necessarily blame this particular applicant for what happened. But again, I keep on going back to precedent, and I guess there's two questions. Will it kind of set a precedent where the next applicant says, well, just in the February meeting you approved a restaurant? Does that kind of put us in a box where we feel beholden to go with that proposed use? And then second, will it encourage after the fact activity? And so that to me wonders if we should potentially increase the civil penalty.
Any additional discussion? Well, the commission operates on motions. Does somebody have a motion?
I have one.
Mr. Seedorn has a motion.
I move we approve the project with the recommendations of the civil penalties and the triple royalty fees in accordance with staff recommendation.
All right, so that's a motion to approve the after-the-fact permit with triple royalty and triple permit fees.
And the civil charge.
Yeah, the civil charge. Correct. And that's a second by Mr. Neal. Everybody clear on the motion?
So that's the $3,000 civil?
Yes.
Okay.
Any discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? No by Mrs. Everett, and the chair abstains. So the motion passes 3-6-1-1.
Thank you.
Approved.
Thank you.